Good morning and welcome to our last morning session here at Unity Day. This meeting is titled, I Bought a Big Book, Now What? My name's Leanne. I'll be facilitating this. I'm a grateful compulsive eater. We have three speakers, Glenn, Dana, and Paula, who will each share their experience, strength, and hope. They're each going to speak, starting with the newest member and moving toward the most experienced member to show how they've answered that question. At the end, we will have time for questions, and you can direct your questions to the panel. So thanks for letting me facilitate, and we're going to start off.
Okay, we'd like to open the session with the Serenity Prayer. So,
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen. Thanks.
Good morning. I'm Glenn. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Glenn.
Hi, Glenn.
I've been in the program about 13 months or so. It'll be 13 months in 4 days that I've been abstinent. I came into the room about a month and a half or so before I actually became abstinent. So it's funny, I was feeling like I should amend my eating, even though I hadn't actually started a program. I was just going to meetings. I thought, well, if I'm going to meetings, you probably ought to stop doing this and you ought to stop doing that. So even before I became abstinent, I had started to lose some weight. So in these last, in the time I've been abstinent, I've lost 98 pounds. Altogether, I've lost 112. I went into the room just an absolute physical atrocity. I started every day with taking a lot of pills. I was up to 11 prescriptions, using a CPAP machine to sleep at night because I had sleep apnea. I hurt almost in every part of my body. But things changed. In the middle of the year, I had my second spinal surgery. I've had three major orthopedic surgeries in the last 5 years. And my hope is that those are done. Because a part of the reason for those surgeries was that I was just such a physical wreck, just ruining my body. Now I'm down to four prescriptions. A couple of those I'm going to just have to live with, I think. But I'm hoping to get rid of at least one or two more of them. I don't need the CPAP machine anymore to sleep at night. I can wear normal clothes, and all of that is really nice for me. It's really wonderful for me. But those are kind of the physical parts of my recovery. And as you know, there are other parts to recovery that are probably, well, that are more important even than those. On the emotional side of things, I might have been in even worse shape than I was physically when I walked in the room the first time. And this has been a year of making a lot of changes and some really good progress, because I had been really kind of defeated, pretty much. I started my life as an unwanted child. I wasn't at all what my mother was looking for. My mother was looking for a daughter, and she didn't get one. And she never missed an opportunity to let me know that I wasn't what she wanted. I spent 3 years of my childhood being physically abused. I was kept in restraints. I was burned. I was cut. I was beaten. And I remember one time, after It's incredible to me that the school officials didn't do something because I kept showing up at school, you know, evidently having been beaten. But they never did anything except finally one time after about a year or so, somebody from the school came to our house. Unfortunately, the only person they talked to was the person who was beating me. And the story was that I was clumsy and I fell down a lot and I climbed trees and fell out of trees a lot, and they made all sorts of excuses for why I was constantly cut and bruised. I was watching that person leave our front door from an upstairs window, and I just knew before they got to the sidewalk to get into their car that I was about to get really killed again. And that's exactly what happened. And by the time that beating was over, I was kind of laying on the floor of the living room of our house, and I remember kind of in that moment losing whatever childish notion I had about the existence of God disappeared in those moments while I was laying there. And so I spent the next few years kind of believing there was no God. How could there be a God when someone in my own family would do this to me all the time? But that sort of changed, and I'm not really quite sure how it developed, but over time the belief that there was no God changed into a belief that, oh yes, there is a God, but that God just hates me. And wants to cause me pain, and so that's kind of where I wound up by the time I was an adolescent, and so I had retreated into books and into music, and I isolated myself from people. I lived my whole life just trying to survive, pretty much. And some part of me wanted to prove that I was good enough, that I didn't deserve what I was getting. And so I excelled academically, and I got to be a pretty darn good musician. And I did well with music, but I was just so full of rage and no place to put it, and so I just started to eat it and eat it and eat it, and you all know, you know, where that goes. And so I spent most of the rest of my life looking for ways to destroy what wasn't being destroyed by other people. I was going to try and destroy myself. So that's the kind of person I spent most of my adult life being, and it's who I was when I walked into the room a little more than a year ago. And so I saw everybody in the room with one of these, and of course they had a pile of group copies. And for my first few times I was in there, I was using the group copy, but I always felt kind of stupid having a group copy. Having a group copy said to me, at least, that, well, I wasn't really there yet. I wasn't really one of them yet. And so I bought a big book. Mind you, I wasn't committed enough to buy a hard copy. And I still have the copy that I first bought, Higher Power. And in that we find healing and recovery. So thanks for listening.
Thanks for sharing, Glenn. Hi, I'm Dana, food addict, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Dana.
Hi. Thanks. So we're talking about the big book, and, well, this is mine. It's a little marked up. Some of these tabs are just for today, but some of them aren't. I've been in program for about 8.5 years, and in January I celebrated 7 years of abstinence from sugar. Thank you. And as Glenn said, my home meeting is the Saturday morning Red Bank Big Book meeting. And I didn't really know there was another book to follow, you know, until I started going out to other meetings. So, but I realized that not everybody uses the Big Book. Comes from Alcoholics Anonymous, and it's really the same, you know, in my humble opinion, the same disease, just a different substance. I pick up food, whereas the stories that we read in the Big Book are about alcohol, and it's really not a huge leap to go from the alcohol to the food. But in doing the reading and preparing to talk today, I was focusing on kind of steps 4 through 9, because those are the steps 1 through 9 that I've worked steps 1 through 9. And you know, if I think about step 4 and what I'm meant to do there is to kind of clean up my side of the street. And in reading, the Big Book tells me, you know, for when harboring such feelings, we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the Spirit. You know, and to realize that in carrying those resentments, that's what I do. I block myself off from God. And I walked into the rooms not believing in God. And I'm grateful to be able to say today that I know my higher power is with me. I know I have a higher power. And it's because of working the steps of this program. But the Big Book goes on to say, the insanity of alcohol returns. So I block myself off from the Spirit. The sanity of alcohol, for me, it's food. And we drink again, so I eat again. And for, with us, to drink is to die. So with me, to eat is to die. If I am going to pick up the food, I'll die. This disease is a progressive disease, and I will continue to eat, and it will kill me. And so I need to do the work. I need to do what the program tells me, and to start off with my resentments and clean off my side of the street. And I did that, and I'm so grateful for the willingness to look at myself that way and to pay attention to what was happening, what those resentments and what the fears and the harms, how those played a role in my life. And, you know, I worked the steps, and I, looking through the book, as you go through the Big Book, the steps 5 through 11 are in a chapter called Into Action. And I remember being in the rooms and somebody saying, you know, the title of that chapter is Into Action, it's not Into Thinking. You know, I could think myself into a binge, you know, and the action, you know, whereas this program is about higher power, and I always feel my higher power with me, I have to put my shoes on and get to a meeting. I have to pick the phone up and make the call if I'm going to hear the message from God that I meant to hear, and I have to do the work. And, you know, I'll talk a little bit about how I work my program. I focus a lot on the tool of writing. I do a lot of writing, and I notice I have to pay attention to my food every day, and I notice when things start to change through the guidance of my food sponsor and working with her to pay attention to what it is that I'm eating. And when I started to change the types of foods I was eating, it was all within my food plan, it was all within how my abstinence is defined, but things were changing. I also started to hear the food call me a lot more over the last couple of weeks, and there's been a lot going on for me at work. And I kept saying I needed to write about it, and I wasn't. And so I spent some time the other morning. I get up every morning to exercise, and I decided it was more important that I did some writing on this because I was, you know, I don't have time to write. I can't pay, you know, I don't have time to do all these things. So I sat down to do my writing, and in doing so, I uncovered all of the defects that were coming up for me in this particular situation. And I was able to say, you know, here's my ego, here's my self-centeredness, here's, you know, my selfishness, here's my judgment, here's where I'm judging this person at work that is, you know, causing me such trouble. But when I'm at work and I can't look at him in the eye, and he was my colleague, my friend for so long, I can't live like that because then I'm going to eat. And so I had to spend the time writing about it. And in doing so, I was able to say, okay, then I can work my third step prayer. Then I can say my third step prayer around that. You know, God, I have to work the first three steps around each of those defects. The sixth step tells me I have to be willing for God to remove these defects of character. And so I have to work my first three steps. The 12 and 12 says, work the first three steps around those defects. So my defect of judgment, you know, I am powerless over judgment, my judgmentalness. I am powerless over my self-centeredness. I'm powerless over my ego. I know there's a higher power that can help me. I've seen it. I feel a higher power in my life now. And so thank God, please God, take this from me. And I was able to do that. I was able to sit with that and say, okay, here it all is. I know there's a power greater than myself. Please God, help me. And then help me know what to do. What is the next right thing to do? And, you know, so that was the way I spent my morning. Then went to work, had a meeting with my now boss. This other person was my previous boss. And, you know, we were talking about this issue that was coming up. And I was talking to her about other things, and we started talking about this particular issue with this other guy in the room. Then he leaves, and I'm getting ready to leave. I'm like, I've got to get out of here because this was still spinning in my head. And she says to me, so what do you think? You know, I couldn't leave the room. I couldn't leave the office because she was making me tell her, you know, what do you think? And so because I had done that work, I was able to have a calm, peaceful conversation with her about this issue. And it's only because of being able to sit with myself and pay attention to what was going on for me that I knew what I needed to talk to her about. And, you know, God's word, God's direction came to me through her, you know, and she was able to tell me how to guide me in what to do and how to be who I needed to be for this guy. Because, you know, the day before I couldn't look at him in the eye, and he's my colleague and my friend, and I need to work with him. And prior to this program, prior to having a higher power and believing that I could live a different way, I would not have survived this. I would be looking for another job, and I would be running as fast as I could away from it. Or I would be trying to control him and keep him. You know, do you know what you're doing to yourself? You know, it's not for me to say. It's his life. And for today, I know that. He has his own higher power. Whether he's connected to that is his. That's his thing. I need to stay connected to my own higher power. And it's through this work that I'm able to let go of those things. What's important also for me in the big book, having worked the steps and continue to work the steps, is to read about other people and their work in the steps. And I sometimes I'll read a story and I feel as though I've never read it before, but I know that I have because I've read the book many times in the rooms. But I go back to one story and one message that that I always remember, and I always know what story it was in, I always know where it is. And it goes like this, you know, I was so certain I had found the answer in alcohol. I could clearly see how it had been a lie. That is the description that best fits alcohol for me. It is a lie, an evil, insidious lie. And I chased that lie for a long time, even when it was obvious I was going nowhere and killing myself while doing it. At that AA meeting, when I looked at over all those faces, I finally saw the truth. You know, and that's what food is for me. That food, it's still, you know, it's a lie. It still pops up, you know, with this situation going on. I still hear the food calling me and telling me that in some way it's going to rescue me from the drama. It's going to rescue me from my life. And it's just not true. You know, I nothing tastes as good as abstinence feels. We hear that all the time in the rooms. And it's, you know, I have such gratitude for that truth and for the gifts I've been given through coming to these rooms and working my program and working the steps. You know, we read the promises, the ninth step promises, every Saturday in the room. And I found a story also in this book that it's actually the same story now that I notice it. Are you signaling to me? How much time do I have? I'm good. 4 minutes. Thank you. But there's promises. The big book makes us promises. And here's the words in the book. I know my goals and dreams, values and boundaries, and I know how to protect, nurture, and validate them. Those are the true rewards of sobriety, and they're what I was looking for all along. I'm so grateful that my higher power stepped in to show me the way to truth. And I walked into the rooms without a belief in higher power. And through continuing to show up and working these steps, now I see a higher power every day in my life. And I can let go of my control and my my need to manage to everything. And, you know, there's no. It's so amazing to live life that way and to know that I don't have to be in control, that I can let go, and that things will happen the way they're meant to happen, no matter what, no matter how I worry, no matter how I stress. I can fold it up and put it in my God box, and it's done, you know. And in the beginning, that was a symbolism for me. I was going to fold it up and just going to put it in there, and every once in a while, I'd open it up, and, you know, I'd have to take the thing back out of there. But for now, things, you know, I just let them go, and I put them in my box. And when things come up, you know, I'm not meant to be perfect. The big book tells me, you know, no one among us is able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is, we're willing to grow along spiritual lines. And I have to be willing to do the work to grow along spiritual lines so that I can continue on my journey. You know, it's a path to recovery. It's never ending. I'm on it for the duration. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I have to just keep showing up and keep working the tools and listening to all of you and being honest. You know, I'm a compulsive overeater. I lie. I don't tell the truth. It's not my first inclination, you know. Did you scoop the litter box? Yes, but there's no. I mean, how obvious is that? It's not true, but my inclination is to lie about it. And, you know, I have to be able to be honest about the fact that I'm a liar. I have to tell on myself. I have to show up and tell on myself. I have to follow the rules. I have to do the work. You know, it says in the big book that we're willing to go to any length. And I have to be willing to do that every day if I want to maintain the peaceful serenity that I have today. And, you know, that's why I'm here, because I have to do that, or else I lose everything I've been given. And I'm not going to do that, so. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing.
Hi, I'm Paola. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Paola.
Hi,
Paola.
Hi. I think I have about 5 minutes. I got abstinent. I've been abstinent for 2 years and 10 days. I am maintaining, by the grace of God, a 50-pound weight loss, and one day at a time. And this book is where it all started for me. You know, I'm thrilled to be talking about the big book, because I'm such a fan, and that's where it all started in terms of my recovery and shifting from coping with life through food versus the steps, which is essentially the skills that I had to learn and the tools in order to put the food down. So when I got abstinent, I was in the rooms. I started coming to the rooms in 2006, but I didn't work anything. I really just, I was very angry. I thought I could do it by myself. I thought that, you know, just one more diet and I could do this, and I don't need to do what these crazy people are doing. And I just kept trying, and I kept trying, and just, you know, it just became this insanity. By the grace of God, I had an insane binge in April of 2008 that just totally did me in. And I now regard it as one of my miracles. That big cake saved my life. I mean, honestly. And then I finally came to a point, and it was just, you know, things that you can't explain, which I consider divine. I surrendered. And what that meant was I was going to get a sponsor, and I was going to do what this book wanted me to do, whatever it said. Because the reality is that the instructions are all here. You don't need to just read line by line. It is all listed there. The doctor's opinion tells us what this disease is. And it told me that it wasn't my fault that I was eating this way and that I couldn't control my food. And I put a lot of that shame on myself. I thought that, you know, here I am. Well, it's just that lie that the disease tells you, that, you know, I could do this by myself, and I could figure this out for myself. But I have a disease, and that's what that section is, the doctor's opinion. And then you go through the first 164 pages of this book, line by line, line by line, read it, and it's all there. And guess what? Not only instruction, but promises. The promises are going to tell me that if I do this, this is what's going to happen to me. And I think, you know, okay. And if you're in a place where you're done and you've surrendered and you're willing to listen, you're willing to change, which is what the book also describes as that spiritual experience. You know, what is that spiritual experience that I'm supposed to have? It's that willingness to stay open at all times and listen and see. And so I was given that. And I got a sponsor, and she was cross-addicted. She was an alcoholic. And my first meeting with her was to open this book up and start reading the very first page, the very first paragraph, line by line. And we took turns reading this book. And that has made all the difference in my abstinence today. This is a major source of my program, this book. I was asked to talk about 10, 11, and 12 very quickly, because I would love to hear your shares as well and questions. But 10, 11, and 12 is after having done the work, not easy, open the floodgates, a lot of crying, a lot of facing the truth of what is really going on, because it's not about the food. And so once that is opened and, you know, you get through, you know, the whole process, then we go out there and we live our lives, right? And we practice these principles. And the one thing in the name of time I want to bring up is the power of prayer. And also meditation. Let's not forget, and I forget this a lot, meditation's part of these steps. Quieting the mind, allowing space through the prayer. It helps me to stop and reflect and think before I act. It's part of the book. This is all listed here, and it's something that I'm slowly cultivating, because just like with everything, we have to cultivate this. We create this process, and with the help of a sponsor, with the help of our fellow compulsive overeaters. But I didn't know how to do that. I had to learn that. But this is where it started. So prayer. Along with step 10, which is, you know, this whole notion of continually taking inventory. That means I need to call things out at the right times. And so I had to cultivate this awareness of my behavior, you know, something that I never really had, because I never wanted to deal with it. I was so deeply in denial about everything. And so I just want to read this one passage, and it's in Into Action, as Dana had stated. There are about 10 pages in this chapter that I read over and over and over and over again, because it's all listed here in terms of what my part is. But it's on 85, and it says, "Every day is a day we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. It's required. God must live within us and in every part of us every day. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly." That's that word, constantly. We have to live it. "We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. Much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from him who has all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed directions, we have begun to sense the flow of the Spirit, and only then do we feel that flow. To some extent, we have become God-conscious. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense." And that's what starts to happen once we start to deal with our past and learn to cope with our present and forget about the future, because it's not there. But we must go further, and that means action. I love that. I just love, at the right time, you just pick it up and you'll find something depending on the day. The last thing I want to say is prayer. You know, these days I pray for my children, and I give thanks to God. I just give thanks because there have been a lot of miracles in my life, and I have to say thank you every day. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Apart from telling the truth, telling the truth, telling the truth. That's it for now. So thank you for letting me share. And we have a few minutes for some questions and maybe some sharing. Any burning desires? Somebody.